Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode 13, August the 16th, 2011. Leo Laporte makes his first amateur radio contact. Hello, everybody. Yes, I have my Santa Claus hat on because it's Christmas here tonight. You haven't dialed in the wrong program. This is Ham Nation. I'm Bob Pyle, K9EID, and I want to play a little bit more of our theme because our theme is pretty special. I have a lot of people ask me about the theme. It's written and played by none other than WB6ACU, Joe Walsh. And Joe's in the studio these days, and he couldn't be here these couple of nights, but he sure wanted to. And why are we all so crazy? And why are we all so happy? Because tonight, W6TWT, Mr. Leo Laporte, is going to make his first amateur radio contact right here live. We're all going to witness and hear it, and I am so happy for you, Leo.
I'm really scared.
Oh, you don't want to be scared.
So
first of all, you have the best teacher in the world sitting over to your right.
The two best teachers. You both get credit, but yes, I do.
And that other teacher is none other than Gordon West, WB6NOA.
All right, and good evening. Leo, nothing to be worried about. We can't wait for your first QSO with that new call sign.
Wow, it's exciting. Now, and by the way, not just a new call sign. Bob mentioned Christmas. We have, well, we'll take you over there a little bit later. There's quite a few presents under the tree over here. thanks to Ray Novak of ICOM and Mike DeRoe, and you arranged this one, Bob Heil. There's some really amazing gear over in what I'm calling now Radio Corner of the Brick House. It's going to be great. We should tell people that people can come use this weekend, right? And you guys will be here.
We're there. We will arrive Thursday night. Kirk's coming in Thursday night.
Kirk Harnack of Cellos, yep.
Yes. George is coming in this weekend. And we're just so thrilled. Everybody's going to be there. But the most important thing that's going to happen is that the Redwood Empire DX Association, their whole club is probably going to show up at time or another. We're so excited that they're there to help you, Leo. It's always nice to join a club. Anybody that gets into amateur radio that's even remotely interested, find a club in your local town. Gordon, don't you think that's the best thing a guy could do?
That's it. They can help you program that brand new handheld, help you get your HF antenna up and running, and then that first shaky CQ, W6TWT, and they'll take the shake out of it, and you'll have a great time on the air.
I'm being well Elmered, I have to say. Yeah, these guys came on Saturday. They were here at 8 in the morning, and they put two antennas up on the roof. We've got a Yagi antenna on the roof for HF, and we've got a little, you know, mast antenna for UHF and VHF up on the roof so that people can come and they can use the ICOM gear. We've got that beautiful, we'll see in a second, 7800. What a radio that is. Wow. And you know what we don't have, and I got to get before Saturday or Sunday, I need to get a key. So if anybody wants to do a little CW here, we can do that too.
We have a key coming. Yeah, we've got one right here.
Oh, you're going to bring a key? Oh, good.
It survived the Orange County Fair for an entire month, hooked up to the ICOM 9100 that you see over my shoulder. And we didn't burn up either one with the constant use. So the key is on its way to Petaluma.
And I understand, Gordo, you're going to do some mobile stuff, too. We're going to clear a parking space right outside the radio corner so that you can do some mobile stuff, too, for us.
We are. In fact, we're going to look at everybody's mobile. This is Microwave. This is the first part one weekend of the 10,000 megahertz microwave contest, 10 gigs and higher.
Wow.
So we'll be lighting up the airwaves as well out front.
Wow.
It's going to be great. I can't wait for the weekend. But I'm just so excited for you because I know you've been wanting to do this for a long time. And as I sent you a couple of pictures of Santa Claus this week, it's Christmas there. So what the heck? And I know the feeling. We've all been there. And I did it 55 years ago. And there's only one problem, Leo. I haven't stopped.
Well, I have to say, and I'm going to thank you both because this is a really amazing hobby. There is something for everybody in this hobby. And I've already told my staff that they have to go out and get their technician's licenses. They can do it easily. And they should, because we've got the gear, we've got the setup, and we have two of the best Elmers in the world sitting right here. And, I mean, this is what a great time to become a ham. So
it is.
I'm just excited about it.
Well, you're going
to see the stuff.
Yeah.
Do we get to see the stuff under the tree?
It's up to you guys. Whenever you're ready, we've got everybody over there. You want to take a walk?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Let me take
us with you.
I'll take out my headphones. You guys will stay here. I'm going to. Is the wireless mic working? All right. I'm going to get up and we're going to walk. We actually have never done this in the studio before, guys. We actually can move around a little bit here, thanks to Chad Johnson on the camera. By the way, say hi to Alex Gumpel, who runs
the show.
He does a good job. And there's Lynn over here. And standing over in Radio Corner. Wait, let me just... Ta-da! Ta-da! Look at this. This is incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
They set this all up today, by the way.
Man.
Yeah, let me come over and say hi to Ray Novak first. He's the guy in charge of amateur radio at ICOM. And you came here, and you've been setting this all up, and you found out immediately there's a lot of noise in downtown Petaluma.
Electrical noise, most definitely. And then there's also a lot of stuff going on here as well.
Yeah, well, maybe a little bit in the studio. I don't know.
When Bob told me the studio that you were building, I had no idea. And when I walked in, I had to send him a text immediately going, "You didn't warn me about this."
I hope you mean that in a good way. So,
most of
this is I hope this will work. This is, you know, all of our furniture comes from Restoration Hardware, and we saw this one, and I thought, hey, this would make a little nice little ham corner over here with the metal rack and everything. And Jammer B arranged it, and now we've got it stocked with, I would say, the state of the art in gear. I had already purchased an ICOM handy talkie. This is the 92, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. And I did that because I wanted to play a little bit with the D-Star. Bob said D-Star would be kind of fun. But we've added a little bit to the gear. You want to introduce what we've... Tell us what we got here?
We've got the Heil fin over here connected to the 7800.
Of course, Bob. Don't worry. We got a fin. And this is...
we didn't get it set up through the Duro yet, but I've been told that's on its way to be handled going into the 7800.
Yeah, and thanks to Mike DeRoe for providing that loudness monitor, because that's going to be fun. Now, this radio, when I saw the specs on this radio, I flipped my lid. This is an amazing radio, primarily HF, right?
It is just HF and 6 meters.
Okay. And you see we've got the monitor hooked up so that we can have a display here, but you can also have a nice big display here, and these can show different things. Right now we've got a spectrum scope on here. We've got our sound meters, and of course the dual band VFO. So this is sweet.
You're using the terms, Leo. Wow.
I'm making it up as I go along.
Yeah. Hey, Ray, put the equalizer. Show him the level control with the bass and treble on there. How we can change the response of the microphone.
Bob warned me about this. He said that the manual for the 7800 is like the Sears catalog. You weren't kidding, Bob. I got to learn all this. But this is what's fun about getting a radio like this, besides the fact that, I mean, this is the best thing ever, is that I will never run out of things to learn. I mean, this is just kind of an endless array of amazing things in here.
Well,
sophisticated technology.
We do have a weekend program that you're more than welcome to
I might attend. Do that. I would like to do
it's
that.
It's where we put you in our booth at Dayton with the manual in one hand and the radios right next to you, and I can guarantee you by the end of the weekend you'll know how to operate
that
radio.
I'd like to do that. Now, of course, that's you realize that for most of this, I need to get my general, and I'm going to take that test on Friday. With any luck, I'll be able to use this weekend.
Well, you can a little bit on 10 meters.
Are we going to use that today? Is that what we're going to use?
Yes, we're going to use that. But Bob wanted me to bring up, this is how we can set up for each year modes, the base and treble level. And because of Bill and my voice being a little bit deeper, we had to cut back a little bit of the bass and boost up the treble a little bit.
So you'll punch through and be clear and easy to understand.
Most definitely. And then you've got AM, FM, as well as on the receive side of it. So that's taking in the audio industry, what Bob's been preaching about for maybe longer than I've been a ham, Bob.
Well, it's just a science of it. The way our ears work, we want to hear that mid-range. And finally, ICOM some years ago said, yeah, we're going to put it in there. And they were the first ones to do that. So we have level controls just like in your console, Leo. You can dial up the treble and bass on all the modes and the receiver. It's really super.
Now, we've attached the one of the Heil push-to-talk hand devices. You sent me both a foot pedal and the hand device, but today we're going to use the trigger here like this for the push to talk.
I call that my Magnum 45 push to talk switch.
All right, Leo, time to make that first contact.
No, not yet. We got more to look at. Then I will. Okay, just a little bit more. This is the 9100 down here. Now tell me a little bit about the 9100.
Well, the 9100, why we sent it down is you've got HF and 6 covered by the 7800. Nothing comes close to it. Then we figured since a couple weeks ago, you guys were talking about satellite. Well, the 9100 will be your satellite radio, and Gordo will talk to you about EME, meteor scatter, moon bounce. You can do that with this radio as well.
What fun. That's going to be really fun.
So when you really want to get real techie and geek out on ham radio, you can do it on some of the meteor scatter.
I also got on D-Star, signed up for D-Star today.
Yes.
Thanks to you. And was it Mike that we were talking to?
We were actually talking to Mark, KJ4VO out of Atlanta, Georgia.
By the way, Ray, your call sign?
November 9, Juliet Alpha.
I got to remember to ask people their call signs. So this is a portable unit, the 2820, but I love this. It's got a magnetic front plate so you can take it with you in your car, right? And thieves don't see it, but it just happens to work really nicely right here on our
sticks in real well.
So the 2820 and the base unit's right down there. This is a UHF VHF
it is a dual band mobile.
Okay. And it has D-Star as well.
Yes, it does.
Great. All right. I guess I probably should do a QSO here, huh?
Leo, you got to make that call, buddy.
Somebody's calling me already. Yeah, all right. Now, what do I do? Okay, you guys, I'm going to sit down. Oh, man. And I got the push-to-talk thing. I don't even know what I do. Do I have to go to a frequency, right, and listen, right?
Yes, sir.
Got a clear frequency for us?
Then you'd key the push-to-talk.
So we're going to be on 28.395. Is that right? Okay, that's the 10-meter band.
Yes.
And I'm allowed to use that as a technician because I'm still not a general. All right.
Looking at the ICOM band plan that Gordo sent to you, right here in the blue line from 28.3 to 28.5.
Great. And we're a little below 28.5, so I know this radio is right on. But just in case, we don't want to slop over into the general. All right. Now I push to talk, and I'm going to say my calls.
Frequency in use?
Is this frequency in use?
Wow. Good job.
And then I will see if anybody comes back, right?
That is correct.
Nobody came back?
Nope.
Sounds pretty clear.
You need to call CQ.
CQ10.
That's it?
CQ10, CQ10, and your call sign.
CQ10, CQ10, this is W6TWT doing my first QSO.
Over.
Whiskey 6, Tango, Whiskey Tango. This is Kilo Echo 6, Lima, Papa Oscar.
Kilo 6, Lima, Papa Oscar. This is W6TWT. Hello. Well, no wonder you sound so good, Matt. You're just down the road.
Very good. Well, congratulations on your first call, and this is a real pleasure. This is a real treat for me to be able to be your first contact, over.
Well, Matt's one of the Redwood Empire DXers, and we're very helpful in getting that antenna that we're working on right now. So thank you so much for doing that on Saturday, and thank you for being my very first contact in this incredible hobby. Over.
It's an incredible hobby. You got that part right.
somebody new on the air, and it's something
go.
I always look forward to. Over.
Well, it's quite a station, isn't it, Matt? Over.
Oh, that it is. I must say, you've got some wonderful, wonderful equipment. I love those Icon radios over there.
No kidding. I'm kind of loving them, too, and I want to thank Ray Novak for setting us up. Matt, Kilo Echo 6, Lima Papa Oscar, it's been great talking to you. This is Leo, Whiskey 6, Tango Whiskey Tango, and I'm going to sign off now.
Okay, Leo, pleasure talking to you, and we'll certainly catch you down the bay.
Hold the mic up there.
KE6LPO, this is W6TWT out.
Wow! All right! Woo!
Faint! Hey, that sounded great. Matt did a great... Boy, that was clear as a bell. And that's kind of scary.
W6TWT.
Thank you, Mike DeRoe, for those great jingles. And thank you, Ray Novak, for making this possible. By the way, Ray wrote down the calls because I got them wrong at first. So thank you for writing those down. How do you – I've said this before. You guys, just gets in your brain, doesn't it?
It does. You get to where you pick it out, especially when you're using a computer to log with.
Right. Then you can see.
Then you enter it in at the same time. And it becomes just second nature to you.
Well, this is exciting. And I have some pretty helpful people in here. Thank you. By the way, let me thank ICOM and thank you personally, Ray, for not only making this possible, setting this up, putting all this effort into it. We're just so grateful. We can't wait to use this for our special weekend. We're going to have a special event this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I'm disappointed that I can't be here this weekend, but I'll be in Huntsville, Alabama at a ham fest there. So.
That's fun.
But I understand Gordo
Bob will be here,
yep. And you're going to be in great hands with those two.
Yeah, I really think so. I'm excited. Let's say hi also from the Amateur Radio Relay League, our section chief for the area here, Bill Hellendahl. It's great to have you, Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for helping us out with all this. We've got our ARRL banner up there.
You bet. Well, actually, Bob Heil hornswoggled me and said he'd do – have some strange things done if I didn't get this coordinated. So the Redwood Empire DX Association Club jumped right on it,
yeah.
And got a system set up from borrowed parts, and we were able to put up a set of temporary antennas for you.
Nice temporary antenna.
It's nice.
The Comet Yagi, right?
No, I believe it's a Cushcraft A4S.
Okay.
So you've got 10 through 40
right.
on there right now, which would be a good compromise for you. And then a little vertical that Comet donated.
That's the Comet. Okay.
The little Comet vertical right now. That's just temporary because they didn't have a bigger one.
Right.
That they could
ship
immediately.
And I think we're going to get a Step IR up there at some point.
Well, that's what we're talking. We're our little team, after we get done with this, we're going to help you design and get through the permitting process here in Petaluma.
Well, we are.
Which won't be great.
It's fine. We're in the historic area, so and we want to put it on the roof.
We
think we can do it. And it's interesting. They said you have to be an amateur. Where's your license? And so I had the license, and
great.
That helped. So
sure.
That's good. And I think we're talking also the emergency services in Petaluma,
sure.
And they realize how important hams are.
You bet.
I know you're
Petaluma's very good.
Active in Aries.
Yes.
And so this is something I want to be participating in as well.
Great.
So.
Super.
We'll get a big battery, right?
Well, it helps particularly if a good station like this, you could be an emergency operating center if necessary.
Yeah. I think we'll do that. I think we'll get a generator in the basement or outside and a battery, and we can be here and help out.
Well, now, congratulations on your first contact. I think that's wonderful. That's great.
I'm still a little faint. I don't even know what happened. Now, this is cool. This I said Christmas came twice, right, Bob?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
There's something
it's
else
Christmas.
Here.
All weekend in Petaluma.
You helped us out get this from Mike DeRoe, who restores classic AM equipment and then uses it on the 80 and 160 meter band, right? So
exactly.
We have
right.
a beautiful Collins mixer. It's a beautiful mono mixer, the kind I started in radio with. And we're going to hook that up. But Bill Smith's here. He's from our local Mount Hamilton club, right?
Hamilton Wireless.
Hamilton Wireless.
Yes.
And you do this too, right? You restore these AM?
I love restoring these equipment. In fact, you have an old radio here that we start with. This is this old, decrepit
This has been in the basement of the brick house since before we got here, and you're going to take this home with you.
We will make it look as good as some of the equipment we'll show you in just a moment.
So this is a good before picture.
This is a good before picture.
When
yes.
Mike or Bill or anybody gets one of these things. This is, I think, an old naval radio.
It looks like a transmitter. I can't really tell. It's so faded that it's even difficult to see what the dial indications look like.
Wow.
But we'll clean it up, and we'll find the parts for it inside and build a power supply for it.
And what band would this be typically
That's
used on?
Typically used on 80 meters and 40 meters.
With CW.
Yes, that would be classic shortwave radio.
Right. Now, let's, you got Bob and Gordo, wait till you see this. Bill drove all the way up from Southern California. He got here late last night with this beauty in a Ryder truck, and it took about 18 of us to get it out of the truck. But come on over to this side here, Bill, and you can give us a little tour of the inside. And then we're going to flip it around because this is the back. But I want to just show you the inside before we show you the beautiful front. This is as pristine as can get. In fact, you were saying, Bill, this is probably better looking than when it came from the factory.
The way that Mike DeRoe has worked this over is absolutely wonderful.
I hope Mike's watching. This was commissioned, we think, in 1961 for an Iowa radio station.
Exactly. But we ought to explain that everyone has a car radio, and everyone has an AM band on their car radio.
Right.
And they listen to a radio station.
Right.
This transmitter is the other end. This transmitter is the device that sends the signal into a radio.
And for many years, this was how I made my living, was being the microphone on the other side of this. Now, is it plugged in? Can we take this off and show them?
Unfortunately, we weren't able to get all the plugs, but we can take that off.
The filaments will have to come visit us for our special event this weekend to see
we'll
the filaments
turn them on
lay
this weekend.
But this is how you tune an AM transmitter.
That's right. This is the coil. This is the heart of a transmitter. This is where the electrical energy is generated that's transferred from the transmitter to the antenna and into the atmosphere and then picked up by a radio.
Now, if you think you have a bad SWR ratio on your antenna with your ham rig, what is the ratio coming out of this?
Well,
the 50-ohm antenna.
This set puts a full signal on the radio band. And so if anything is a little out of kilter, it doesn't add up to a good situation.
You were telling me, what was
smoke
it?
And
<It's>
smoke
like 38,000
without the mirrors.
Ohms? Well, how many ohms is
it? Yes. It takes the energy from these are the modulator tubes, and these are the radio transmitter tubes. And it takes this energy at 3,300 ohms for those
3,300
ohms law. And this coil set transforms that energy to 50 ohms, which is the match to the antenna.
So this is an LC combination.
Yes. And then the antenna matches to the atmosphere at 377 ohms.
Wow. Wow. Can we turn it around just so people can see? There's some beautiful tubes in here. We're going to get these right now are metal tubes.
Those are solid state rectifiers.
The rectifiers, we're going to get some.
And the traditional rectifiers before solid state, which only started really in 1960. These diodes were not available when this transmitter was manufactured.
Oh, okay.
These are later replacements. But the tubes that were sold with the transmitter are glass, and they have mercury vapor inside that is heated, and when it glows with the high voltage of the transmitter, it is the most beautiful purple.
And it oscillates with your voice.
And with the power that the transmitter draws to modulate the radio signal, the tubes then undulate with the beautiful, beautiful purple glow.
Let's turn it around because there's a window in this thing which makes it so that you can see in it, and I'm going to make sure we don't scratch any of the beautiful refinishing. Bob, I know you've seen these before.
This is in the heyday of AM radio, when the radio stations were outfitted to impress the viewers and advertisers. And so
is that gorgeous?
Operators
Isn't
would be invited
beautiful?
To come in and visit the equipment and visit the radio station studio. And this, of course, would be a display item. Showing.
And the general manager of the station would go in here and say, please buy more advertising.
And that would be it. He'd only do it once, though.
It'd be the last time he ever did it.
It'd be the last time he ever tried that idea.
But it's beautiful.
What's behind the magic doors?
You know, this was in service till pretty recently. You were saying as late as 2006.
These transmitters are still in service in the Midwest with high static and high lightning storm activity. Because the new solid-state transmitters just can't respond fast enough. And the circuits in this are simple, And the transmitter simply shuts off when a lightning strike hits it and then turns right back
on
again.
The way you tune those coils up that we just looked at is with these mechanical dials.
Yes.
And it literally is mechanical, isn't
it? Yes, absolutely. There are chains back there to control the various movements of the parts in the back.
It's really incredible. I hope to be broadcasting on this thing. I have to get my general ticket first, I think.
Yes. This you need a general ticket for. It's actually, if we had the plug to plug it into the wall, we have the cable.
We'll light it up later. That's fine.
But it's ready to go.
Hey, I can't thank you enough, Bill, for bringing this. And thanks to Mike DeRoe.
Yes.
And who else helped him? Was it Dave Jennings?
Dave Jennings.
Yeah.
Dave.
And thank you, Bob Heil.
And Bob Heil, of course.
For convincing me to get this. Folks, is that not the most beautiful radio corner you've ever seen?
Let me put the front panel on so that you can see it.
Isn't that incredible? By the way, Leo, we should mention that your console behind you.
Yeah.
That console, they wanted that kind of console, and Mike couldn't come up with one that he could restore real fast. David Jennings, who was on our very first show, mm-hmm. if you remember, he and Joe opened Ham Nation.
Yep.
And David Jennings took that from his own station.
Oh.
And he's building another one. Mike is building him another one. They probably have it done now. But that actually is all restored and working, and David did that. And
David, I can't thank you enough. And I have to say, I mean, the generosity of everybody, starting with you and Gordo and then to the Redwood City, Redwood Empire DXers, to Ray Novak of ICOM, I mean, Bill and Bill. It's been incredible. So... one thing I've learned for sure is that hams are the nicest people. I really am having a blast. Well, thank you, Dave. I didn't know that David did that. That's a beautiful console.
David is a great video engineer. He and his wife are both incredible engineers, and he knew that you wanted that console, so you got it. I told you, it's Christmas in Petaluma this weekend.
I can't. I'm just so touched. I don't know how to say... how lucky I feel. We're going to try to do everything we can to promote this great hobby. And I'm just really thrilled to be a part of it now. And I made my first call.
There you go.
That is great.
How about that, Gordon?
Great.
Was that cool or what?
That was great. And now we're going to bring on Shorty in just a moment. And we'll be talking with Shorty, I'm sure, when we're all up there in Petaluma this coming weekend. So I'll turn it back to you, Bob, and see if we can turn the switches, Leo, and bring on another broadcaster. And that is Shorty of the Wynn System.
Yeah, you know, one thing we should talk about or mention, we get so many emails between George and Gordon and I. We get lots of them. One of them I thought I should bring to light because I think this really has a lot to do with what we're talking about tonight. A guy by the name of Lion Brimmer sent me a note. He got us an ICOM 745 from an estate or somewhere, and he wanted to know if it was legal to turn it on and listen. And of course it is. You can listen as much as you want, anywhere you want. 1934 Communications Act of the FCC says if it falls in your backyard, it's yours. You can listen. So get those radios out and start listening. And what you just saw, that beautiful Collins transmitter, you'll hear a lot of them on 3870 3870 3.870. Any of those? 3870, 3880, and 3885 is where most of the AM activity is on 75 meters. And you'll hear a lot of good AM. It's in the sideband, is up and down. Now, next week, we're going to get into this whole thing, Leo. We're actually going to take a transmitter, and I'm going to put it on the air here and show you all the differences between AM, FM, sideband. I think it's time that we do that, but that's all later. We got a big Christmas party to put together here.
This is amazing.
I wanted to make light that it is
just proper and legal to listen anywhere. And boy, they're going to hear you. Let me tell you, that was great.
I think I'll be doing a lot of listening at first. I think that's kind of what my natural inclination is just to kind of get to know what's going on. That's one of the things I love about Gordo's CDs, and I've really learned a lot from you, Gordo, is you play a lot of audio. So I kind of have heard a lot of stuff ahead of time, and that really helps.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, that's super.
By the way, I know it's not broadcasting. Everybody say, yeah, I keep saying broadcasting. That's an old bad habit. What should I say? It's not broadcasting. It's one-to-one, right? What do you call it?
Well, when you got 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 guys all on a round table, sometimes it is broadcasting.
I'll say transmitting. How about that? Or rag chewing. How about that?
Yeah. That's what happens. That's for sure. Well, talking about round tables, we got a guy coming on here. Shorty is quite a person. We'll hear a lot about this system, but I want to tell you just one little piece that I've learned this week about his system. It's called the Western Intertie Network, WIN system. And this guy has tied our old school radios with the internet, Leo. And he's got computers and all kinds of radios, 2 meter, 440, all tied together around the globe.
Wow.
So you're going to be able to pick up your handy talkie and talk to somebody in Australia. The other night, I picked up my handy talkie here and talked to a guy in England. And it happened, I go into a radio here. That radio is tied into the internet out to his place in California, and then who knows where it goes. We're going to let him explain the WIN system. We're very happy to have him on here, and he's going to be on here a lot. We're going to get him in here. He's a good friend of Gordo's. And Gordo, you want to introduce Shorty, tell him all about his call, where he's at, and all that good stuff, because I know you and Susie have known him for a long time.
Well, Susie's right here, and she says, great. Susan, Shorty's wife, and Shorty have been hams for, well, they'll tell you how many years. But what a thrill that they've been able to bring to brand new radio operators who pick up a radio, sign on to the WIN system, and make that call and end up in Ketchikan, Alaska, or Ian in England, or maybe down under. So, Shorty, say hi to everybody out here in Radio Land, and we're hanging on every word that you and Susan have to say. Shorty?
Oh, thanks a lot, Gordo. You know, no pressure, right? You know, just howdy. Okay, well, thank you, and welcome to everybody. This is my bride, Susan.
Hi, everybody. I'm Susan, K6SLS.
Hello, Susan. Hello, Shorty.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Well, it's great to be here. And that stands for Susan Loves Shorty. If you want to know what SLS stands for. First thing I'd like to say is, Leo, Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Got a wonderful Christmas present.
No kidding.
And you will enjoy this wonderful hobby of ours, and I hope that you're in it as long as Bob Heil and I have been in it. I beat Bob by a year or two.
I'll have to be 100 because I'm starting at age 54. I'm a little late to the game here.
That's okay. It's never too late. And we'll enjoy having you and certainly enjoy hearing you. There are a couple of WIN system repeaters that you can talk into from Petaluma.
I know. I found that out, and I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I used to live in Santa Rosa, which is just a little bit north of you.
Right.
And before that, I lived in Napa, which is just kind of across the way. But I'm an old Northern California guy from way back.
So tell us a little bit about how the WIN system works.
Okay, let's talk about how it works. First, I'll introduce myself. I'm Shorty, K6JSI. And Susan and I live in a small town called Smith River, 991 people. And Smith River is 5 miles south of the Oregon border, and it's about 12 miles north of Crescent City. So as you're going north up U.S. Highway 101, it's the last town you go through before you cross into Oregon. And we're on the coast. We're about 3 miles from the ocean here. I started the Wind System in 1990, actually built the first repeater in 1990 at my home in Vista, which is where I used to live in San Diego County. And we started growing the system and putting more and more repeaters on. That was back before any VOIP technology was invented, talking about the old transmitter that you have there, the 20V Collins. That was before the internet was invented as well. So I started linking my repeaters via radio, and we had a lot of repeaters on 420 linked in Southern California. Built it up to about 14 radios in Southern California by the time the VOIP technology was invented. And that was started by the Echolink folks, and they put a VOIP system on a Windows platform and tied computers together, and you could plug a radio into the computer, and it kind of all started out there. David Cameron, VE7 LTD, up in British Columbia, Canada, in 1999, invented what he called the IRLP, and that stands for the Internet Radio Linking Project. He took a little different tack. He got tired of Windows crashing, so he put it on a different operating system called Linux, and it's a much more robust platform, and it doesn't crash. He then grabbed an audio program called Speak Freely, and he used that for the VOIP portion, which allows the audio to go back and forth on the internet. Then he built a proprietary keying system. You know that push-to-talk button that you had?
Yeah.
Well, in a repeater, every receiver and transmitter has a push-to-talk on the transmit and a COS, or carrier-operated switch, on the receive. And he tied the COS and the push-to-talk through the internet, so that when one radio on one end of the link transmitted, it sent a signal to the other radio on the other end of the internet to turn its transmitter on, and then the audio just simply transferred over by the audio program that he used. When the radio stopped transmitting over here, then the operation reverses, and the other COS closes and sends a signal back across the internet to the other transmitter on the other end. And so two people can actually communicate via radio using the IRLP as a link. And that came about in 2000 or 1999. We found out about it in the year 2000. And in March, we were the second IRLP node in the United States. We got beat by about a week by a fellow in Washington, D.C., who was the first IRLP node in the USA. But we were number two. And we've been very active in the internet and the IRLP ever since. So we operate the Wind System at 78 repeaters right now in three countries around the world and in about 18 states. And you have up there our repeaters list, which is on our website. And it simply shows the repeaters that are connected full-time to the Wind System. And that is 78 repeaters, full-time connection 24/7.
You're very well represented in California. In fact, I could tell you're from the area because there's a ton right around the corner here. So I will definitely be using this.
Okay. Well, we are an open repeater system. Everyone's welcome to use it. And we're in our 21st consecutive year right now. So we've been at this for a while.
Leo, there's a great picture that Alex can bring up. There's three of them, actually, that shows the incredible installation of just one of his systems. I'm amazed at some of the things. Is that you climbing up the tower? No, that's probably Brendan.
That's Brendan, K6BDM, and that's our Santa Rita site that's above the Santa Rita racetrack in Los Angeles, Pasadena.
For those that are listening, why, it's just a ginormous tower with all kinds of antennas. The other one that I really love is the takeoff angle that this thing sees. I don't think there's anything above you. Look at that, Leo.
Wow.
That's a view.
This is our new Santa Ynez repeater site that's in Santa Barbara, and you're looking south right out at the Pacific there. Santa Barbara's a little bit to your left. You're looking at one of our eight elements, the high band element, the little kind of looks like a trombone. That is a 2 meter 145.200 is our frequency there, and that's a 2 meter antenna. And we actually have eight dipoles instead of the normal four. It's a monster antenna, 44 feet long, and it's on the top of a 100-foot tower, which is on top of a 4,300-foot mountain. So it's up in the air.
That was a beautiful shot. And then the last one that I picked out was this one where it just shows all these antennas on this tower. And Leo, I don't think you and I will ever get to this point, but we won't ever have repeaters like this either, but we can use the wind system. How cool is that?
Well, that's Gordo? What's great about it. Yeah, you get to use it, so it's as if it was yours, right?
That picture, actually, if you can go back to that picture, if it's not too hard to do, that's the tower at Santa Ynez, and there are two people in the middle of the tower there, kind of in the middle of the picture. Wow. That's the 60th level. And our antenna's on the right, just it's the vertical pipe to the right of the tower itself. And it goes up, the other cross arm is at 80 feet, and then the top cross arm is at 100 feet. And there's another climber at the top at the 100-foot level. And there's two climbers up there, and they're installing our antenna that went up two Sundays ago. So,
there he is.
And that gives you a perspective of how big that tower is.
Wow.
Yeah, that is terrific, Shorty. Well, Shorty, it takes just the technician class license to operate through the wind system. And we encourage all brand new technician class operators to first monitor their local wind system. Shorty, can you give us an example of what it sounds like when you go, "Hello, world, who's out there?" Go ahead, Shorty.
Sure. We did a demonstration, and Gordo, you asked for demonstrations at many of your training classes, which, by the way, are fabulous. And we did a demonstration last week, and we sent a file to you guys. So you have it. It runs a minute 15, and you can just listen to people check in. What happens is someone asked for a wind system demonstration, and what we do is people simply come on the air with their name and their call sign and their location. So here you go.
Why don't we do a wind system demo? What we ask folks to do is sign up, you know, with their call sign and location and have a wind system demonstration.
Woo-hoo. 5ZUA Houston.
APZ Vista.
5ZULC Dale, Arizona.
N6WI Berryville, Arkansas.
Wow.
Back down to plantation, Florida.
Mobile Ocean Site.
K6UFX Gulf Ocean Site.
AI-6MAH, Lomita, California.
Good evening. It's Ron, WB6IAG in Paradise, Northern California.
K6TZ, Santa Barbara, California.
K6IXQ, Costa Mesa, California.
K84JMV, Naples, Florida.
NL7MJ Mike in Anchorage, Alaska on a handheld.
Whoa!
This is Victor Echo 3, 2-lead India Whiskey, Jim. Gravenhurst, Ontario, Canada, 100 miles north of Lake Ontario.
Whoa!
That was an extraordinary demonstration.
I think that gives you an idea of the wind system. Our website is windsystem.org.
You know what?
Why don't we do a wind system demo? What we ask folks to do is
that's I think it's looping up now. Shorty, that is remarkable about that is how little latency there is there. It seems like it's almost instant.
You know, the repeater system itself is full duplex. Our backbone runs another VOIP system called Asterisk, and that Asterisk backbone is full duplex. So when one person is talking in Southern California and one person's in Northern California, say, they're full duplex. If they're running two radios with maybe an earphone in one ear, they can talk back and forth just like on a telephone.
Yeah, no, I noticed that, and I'm familiar with Asterisk. In fact, I'm familiar with the digital side of what you're doing, and I think it's interesting though that you the transition from the analog radio through the repeater into the internet and back out again seems like it's very quick. You don't get a lot of latency.
No, there isn't. The only latency you really have is in the D to A and A to D converters, and they are very quick.
They're quick.
100
They're
milliseconds quick. Tops. Right. And then you have some latency in the internet itself, maybe another 150 milliseconds. So there is a little bit of latency, but not that much. And we're using a high sampling rate, 16-bit audio, same thing as you are using here on Skype. So
yeah, it sounds like FM. It sounds great.
Yeah. Pretty good audio.
What we have to do is we've got to get this rigged up here when we all get the time in the next month or so. We'll have Shorty back on, and I'll get my little handy-dandy talkie here in Illinois, and Gordo will get his handy-dandy talkie in Southern California, and Leo will get his going in Petaluma.
We'll all
talk together, and then Shorty will come in and tell us what we did wrong. That would be cool, wouldn't it? Well, you can't miss every episode of Ham Nation because you don't know what's going to happen because we don't know what's going to happen. But I guarantee you one thing, we're going to have fun at it. And it's all because of ham radio. What a great hobby. And we just exploded this thing today with one super person becoming a ham radio operator. And we're really excited about it for you. And I'm more excited for the entire fraternity that we have. Leo Laporte, W6TWT, ready to join in on the wind system on the AM.
Stand by, listening folk, for the first time on Radio Anywhere's.
Thanks to Mike Durow, who is a great radio guy. He put those together. I don't know how he did it, man. but boy, those are great. Now, I know I can't use them on the transmitting on the ham bands, but I can use them here.
You can use them here. You better believe it. Shorty, thank you very much for coming and explaining a little bit. We're going to get more into it on future shows, but it's so nice to have you on the wind system here on Ham Nation, and especially on this very special Christmas night on the Ham Nation when Leo makes his first contact. That was really cool. So thanks for being here. That's great.
Thanks, Shorty.
You got it.
And did you notice, Leo, he's got one of those monster transmitters behind him also.
I did. Yeah, I sure did.
Yeah.
And you know what's neat? I mean, he was in Alaska. That's great quality camera, great quality picture we were getting from him. I tell you.
Well, we'll get this all cooking and get him on here another time when we can really make it all work, and we'll have a lot more fun with when the next time they're on.
Well, it's a great
on.
Introduction. Yeah, I'm glad to learn about it.
Yeah. Well, there's so many facets to ham radio. You heard a little bit about amateur television. You probably didn't think about that last week. Mm-mm. And it just continues on. There's so much to it. And you'll find, like you said, the best thing to do is to listen and find all these different little places that things are happening all over the bands. And you have the radios that go from DC to White. With all that great ICOM gear, you can listen anywhere.
I'm set now, boy.
Yeah.
But
you know what you got to do one of these days, and you'll get the time to do that. We're going to get George up here, and George is going to show you one of the most valuable things in ham radio. At least it was to me. I know it was to Gordo in the early days. Where we'd see somebody throw out an old television, you know, they'd set it out on the curb for the trash man to take away. Man, I was 15, 16 years old. I couldn't wait to grab that old television, and I'd go in and say, Mr. Jones, are you throwing this away? Yes. Well, I would get it, and I'd take the transformer out and the 5U4 rectifier, and my, I saved all those parts. Well, guess what? It's still happening. Hey, George, where are you? Are you here tonight?
Hey, Bob, Gordo, Leo. Good to be on.
How about
with y'all
this
tonight?
Cool night, huh?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to getting out there this weekend and operating that station.
Well, I want you to show us what we do today. We don't quite get to throw televisions out and save them, but look what we can do. And you're going to show us all about how saving some parts can be very valuable to ham radio.
Oh, yeah. You know, I always tear up anything I've got that's headed for the scrap bin so I can see how it works and see what might be useful in there for some future project. if you, you know, even if you plan on buying new parts, it's good to save these old ones because you never know when at 1 a.m. in the morning you're going to need that extra 10 microfarad capacitor. So this week I tore apart an old computer power supply, and everybody's got those laying around. And you might find something useful in there. Leo, if you look in your closet, you can probably find some yourself.
I'm sure I have one. But don't open them up without some care. You can zap yourself pretty good with those things, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely unplug it first.
Yeah.
In today's episode of Smoke and Solder, we're going to talk about parts recovery, salvaging parts from old electronics. As Bob told us in a recent episode, never throw away anything that you might could use again, and I'm a firm believer in that. That's why I'm taking apart this old computer power supply that's now defective, and I'm going to see what's in there that I might scavenge for a future project. There are four screws that are holding in the PC board that we need to remove, and we need to cut all these wires out of the way. We've got a nice bundle of multicolored wires here that are going to come in handy. And we've got a nice chassis here that we can use for a future project. And this has got a fan in it. It's the same size that fits a lot of computer cases, so we certainly want to save that. And now the next project that's going to go in this box, I'm going to want to keep the power connector and the power switch. There are a number of components on this board, not as many as I've seen on some older ones. These are two 220 microfarad at 200 volt capacitors. Those will come in handy. There's a lot of small diodes on here. I'm probably not going to keep those. And there's a fuse mounted to the board. I'm not going to save that. There's a lot of small caps. We'll see on those. There's a large diode over here on the side. We might do something with that. There's a large ceramic cap that we'll probably hang on to. Now, this is a switching power supply, so we're not going to hang on to these transformers. They really won't be any use to us. There's some more small capacitors on here, and there's a nice inductor that we're going to take off and cut the wires and save the toroid core. That can be handy for reducing RF in circuits. There's some semiconductors on the heat sinks. We'll see what those are when we get out. And certainly we want to keep the heat sinks. Now for this salvage job, I'm going to want a little bigger tip than I normally use on PC board work, so I'll take out my small tip, and we're going to put a medium-sized chisel tip in there, and I believe that'll work just fine. It's also important that we keep our sponge damp so that we can clean our tip frequently, and for that, we have a special fluid here that we use, Amazing H2O. It's a multi-purpose cleaner. It has a fresh new scent. It's non-abrasive, biodegradable. I'm not particularly interested in the components in the center of this board around the transformer. And in order to be able to reach in here easier with my soldering iron, I think it'll be a lot smoother going if I can break this board in half and get it into two pieces. I'm not sure if this is going to work or not.
Oh.
And it did work.
Oh.
Now let's heat up the soldering iron and start scavenging.
Scrounging at its best.
I'm glad he sped it up. That's all I can say. It's an only an hour show.
Well, that didn't take too long. Let's see what we've got. A couple of HER 508 5-amp rectifiers mounted in a heat sink. A handful of semiconductors, STD13007F and 2SC5027 NPN transistors. Got a couple of heat sinks. We've got a couple of 220 microfarad at 200 volt capacitors. These will be handy. And we've got a small handful of small electrolytic capacitors. Never know when you need those. And I believe I call this a ceramic capacitor earlier. This is actually a Mylar capacitor. And we got a few mounting screws and insulators for transistors to the heat sink and some insulators for the transistors and a ferrite core. So not too bad a haul. That's that many fewer parts in the landfill, and that many more in our parts cabinet. I grew up in the country near a small town, and there were no electronic parts stores within 50 miles. So I got in the habit of tearing up old electronics that we were going to throw away to see what made them tick and also to get me a nice supply of parts. I even tore open some of the parts to see what they were made out of. It was a lot of fun. So today, I'm still in the habit. When I'm going to throw away some old electronic item, I'll tear in there to see what's going on and to see if there's any good parts that I might want. As you saw today, I scavenged several parts out of this old power supply. I'll probably use some of them. Now, those real small capacitors, I may not use those, but I'm going to put them in the parts cabinet anyway, because you never know when you're going to use your last 1 microfarad capacitor and you need just one more to finish off that project. Now, my friend Jim, N5SPE, he's one of my co-hosts on AmateurLogic.tv. He produced a segment several years ago on an alternative method of parts recovery that he believes he got from Mike from some of the early Solder Smoke podcasts.
Basically, what it consists of, or what we're talking about doing here, is taking this propane torch that you see, firing it up, putting it to the back of this printed circuit board that has a lot of capacitors, resistors, inductors, and heating up the back really good.
Oh, my goodness.
Heat things as evenly as possible.
A special disclaimer for this show.
Over the back, and that's when we started with a small board.
This man is a trained lunatic.
Maybe if we add a little more flame.
They're just going to melt.
Don't mind telling you, I'm a little bit nervous when it comes to the thunking against the box part.
I can smell the smoke from here.
I don't think parts are going to go flying everywhere. Okay. I'm starting to hear cracking noises from the board.
It's his chair on fire.
I'm thinking that's not a good thing.
He just dropped some on the floor.
I'm thinking
down
maybe
on
I should be wearing
carpet
some kind of protective eye shielding.
Which
never
he's
wear
not.
Shorts.
Okay, here we go. Oh, starting to emit things from the board. I heard something come off.
It's in your lap.
A transistor and a capacitor.
Oh, yeah, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, jumped. Dear.
I didn't hit it very hard. Let's see. I saw some solder go flying, but I didn't hear any parts come off. Not spectacular results. I would say that's about as good as we're going to do without catching things on fire.
I can't believe this guy's got all his fingers left.
And we netted a transistor and a capacitor. Now, round two, okay, I see some parts that are really loose. Oh, yeah. Several more came out. No pulling yet, just, I see this resistor down here is just shaking. Okay.
He's doing this in shorts, too, I want to point out.
Better that time. Yeah. So, maybe we were
Brave
expecting
man.
Results too fast. Your temperature's about right for part recovery. Move quick, you can get a lot of things. Voltage regulators, power resistors. Yeah. Transistors. Okay, he's really trying to hit me. Came down right in the chair there. The banging against the desk or the box is effective.
Oh my.
But I think more effective is
left the
is
torch
a little tugging on the larger parts, larger pieces. Small pieces stay hot for quite a while. And so you can just really pull those
Wait
right out
it.
Of there.
Whoa!
Okay. Boys and girls, don't try this at home.
Jim provides a lot of comic relief with some of the unexpected things he gets into.
We got to say, don't do that. This is not a demonstration of something you should do. And actually, I think we probably should say, George, that it is dangerous to open a power supply. Those caps could have juice in them still, right?
If it's been sitting around a long time, it's probably discharged. But yeah, anything that's been energized in the recent past could have some charge left on the larger capacitors. What you can do is take a screwdriver and short across the two legs of the capacitor, and you'll get a nice little spark from that. And you may see something about that next week.
Oh boy. Be a little careful with it. You're right, with the more with a recently used power supply. Heed that warning on the side that says could electrocute you if you open it up.
Thanks, George. See you this weekend.
Yeah, thanks a lot, George. I really appreciate your expertise and your fun and your times of really great education, because these are things that we need to do and learn how to build. And you you bring that to us here in the Smoke and Solder. And, Gordo, it certainly was Smoke and Solder this week, right?
You got it.
Smoking something.
One thing I would like to mention that's very important, you mentioned about television sets earlier. Be extremely careful if you're going to tear into an old CRT-type television set. Not only do the capacitors hold charges in there, also the picture chip can hold a tremendous charge. So probably better stay away from that unless you know what you're doing.
Yeah, you got that right. That's not hundreds of volts. That's thousands of volts.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks so much, and we're looking forward to seeing you this weekend in Petaluma. That'll be great. That'll be great. Hey, Gordo, I got to ask you one question before we all get out of here. What is that sign you have behind you this week?
That
is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Well, it's one that Leo is going to see with his call letters. It comes from Jim's Engraving. And Leo, if you like this sign, but with your call sign, you're soon to see it on that wonderful hardwood table.
Oh, that's so kind of you. Thank you. I'm excited. I do want that. That's a beautiful sign. I've been trying to figure it out. Yeah.
It's on its way. Susie put it together with Jim's Engraving, and you'll have it shortly.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Jim is an Illinois boy, just about 30 miles up the road from us here, so I was pretty sure that was one of his work. That's beautiful. We'll look forward to seeing.
Up above it, of course, is that ICOM IC9100. Now we have it back from the fairgrounds. Yeah. I'm going to play radio as soon as we hang up. Yeah. So go ahead and hang up, you guys. Susie and I want to do some HM.
Well, I bet you money I know where Leo is going when this program ends also. So we all do that. I already have my over here, and it's a cranking away. So we'll be on and making some noise on 75 meters. Boy, there's stuff happening. Ah, there's AM on 75 right there. I like that. We'll get into all that next week. But before next week on Ham Nation, we got to come to Petaluma and make all this stuff really work. Leo, I can't tell you how excited and how thrilled that I am that you have done this and you've had your first contact, and you're going to have many, many more. So thanks so much for sticking in there, and it's going to be great fun.
I am so excited, and I do invite everybody to come to the Twit Brick House Studios. We're in Petaluma, California at 140 Keller Street, and we will be open from 10 to 10, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., so we could get some late-night Skywave hamming going on Saturday, this Saturday, the 20th of August, and then August 21st from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and you're all invited. Gordo will be here. Bob will be here. Lots of great people. We'll be able to play with the gear and see all the stuff and see that beautiful Collins transmitter all lit up, too. In fact, you can find out more. I've set up a little a part of my blog for Hamming Around, w6twt.org, Whiskey 6 Tango, whiskeytango.org. So the invitation and the details are there as well.
All right. Well, it's been an exciting night. I know you've waited a long time for this to happen, and it has happened, and it's only the beginning. And it's, as I said, it's Christmas in Petaluma.
Well, wish me luck on Friday. I'm going to go down. I'm going to try to get my general ticket before the weekend so I can use some of this great ICOM HF gear.
Best success,
thanks a lot.
From Gordo and Suze.
Thank you so much. I couldn't do it without you, Gordo. Your stuff, it's the best way to learn. I encourage anybody who wants to know more to go to w5yi.org and get Gordo's materials, because they really have been immensely valuable.
Yeah, we really have to thank Mick at Comet and Ray and the guys at ICOM and Bill Smith for bringing up all of that beautiful Collins stuff from Southern California for you, and Dave Jennings, and, of course, Mike DeRoe, and then Bill and all of the Redwood Empire guys. My gosh, what a great help.
Yep, yep.
That's what ham radio is all about. So we'll see you next week here on Ham Nation, and look for us on 20 meters Saturday from the wonderful station there. We'll be under W6KB. We'll do that with the club call. So 7-3, everybody, and we will see you next week here on Ham Nation.